ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out here, Western, Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different things, some high school football scrimmages from last Friday ahead of week zero for some of the teams. So I've gotten watched a bunch of the Elk City Kingfisher one yesterday. Starting to filter out. Everyone's starting to figure out what happened down in Lawton with Clinton and El Reno and Lawton and the way that thing ended. A little bit ugly with the brawl on the field. And then also I got a little report from Sayre. They had three other teams beside themselves there on Friday night. Here's the deal.
There was four total teams.
Okay. A couple of Texas and a couple of Oklahoma. Mangum, Booker, Shamrock.
Good mix there. I like it.
Sayre.
Did they all, was it like a round robin thing? Or like two on one side of the field and the other two?
I think it was just they all, my guess would be they all met there. And what do you think the Oklahoma schools and the Texas schools went against each other? I don't know if Mangum's on Sayre's schedule or not, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense to scrimmage somebody you're going to play.
No, absolutely not.
And they may not be on that schedule, and that's why they got together. But got some reports from there, and here's the thing. If you were out and about and it wasn't one of those places we just talked about, tell us what you saw with your team. 225-9698. Love to hear about it. Week zero coming up. Golly, 4 days. Really just three because this day's already started. 3 days from now. We'll kick off the high school football season with week zero. Elk City at home against Pampa. I had that list yesterday. I'll have to dig it out of the trash when we get going, telling you about who all is going to be playing on week zero. Also, the big news nationally or even locally a little bit here today is the scheduling alliance. Or actually, it's not even a scheduling alliance. More of just an alliance being agreed upon between the ACC, Big 10, and Pac-12. So those three conferences, I don't know what to make of this because we've heard all kinds of things about what it might be. And then when you read about what it looks like it's going to be, it's kind of a, what does that do?
I don't know if it does anything. I don't know.
I think it does. I think the whole goal of it is one thing. And I'll tell you what that is when we talk about it. I do think there is one goal in mind for these three conferences by making this alliance. And I'll tell you what that is when we talk about it.
Okay.
I think it's fairly obvious. When you see what's not there, what isn't going to be agreed upon, what isn't going to come about from this, at least right off the bat, I think it's obvious what's happening. Anyhow.
Okay, I'd love to hear that too.
We'll get you guys' opinion as well. And then whatever else pops up, it seems like there's been stuff popping up every time, or we'll just continue to talk about what we're talking about, or whatever you guys want to talk about as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Back by popular demand, the Western Oklahoma Realty Picks Contest, people before property. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen and the crew down at Western Oklahoma Realty. Here it is. I set it up yesterday, and ESPN has made a little bit of an adjustment to their contest, and they're going to allow us to pick the games against the spread. So it's not just winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It's not straight up.
It is going to be against the spread. It's simple to get involved. Either go to ESPN's website, click on College Pick'em, search for the group The Skinny on Sports. Or you can go to our Facebook page, and I have dropped a link in there. And through the magic of Jared's technical ability, we'll figure out a way to drop in the logo for Tyler somehow.
Yeah, we'll figure it
out. Along with that.
Not a problem.
But Western Oklahoma Realty Picks Contest, it will start Labor Day weekend. So the first set of games is September the 4th. You don't have to worry about these week zero games. We are going to do that starting September the 4th. So you got a week and a half to get everybody get signed up, compete. I know Tyler's working on some sort of prize through the magic of not working very hard and us losing a salesperson. We lost our prize last year, which we have regained now with 3 months left in the year. So if you won one of those golf passports, text us and we'll get it to you. I know I got to get one to Joe. He won that the other day.
Okay.
I think Jay Brown was the guy that won the picks contest, wasn't it? I think it was Jay Brown from last year for the golf passport.
I feel like I should know this.
That didn't show up until August. And I think we also owe my man Rusty Wilson a Simons and a passport.
Man, so, we owe a lot of people stuff.
Well, we owe them passports that never showed up until a week and a half ago.
Yeah, that's true.
So if that's you, text us and we'll get it to you, 225-9698. But Western Oklahoma Realty Picks Contest gets going September the 4th. Sign up online on ESPN's website. Search for the Skinny On Sports group. You got to be in the group to be involved in the contest. I've already got like seven.
We've
already got like seven participants, and I put it up yesterday afternoon. So
I've signed up yet. I need to get on that.
Got to get on it. Got picks time, against though. The spread. Okay. It's also our draft week. Fantasy football draft week, Jared.
When is that happening?
Saturday.
Oh, no.
You agreed to be there on the text thread. I think it's 5 p. Jared's looking like he ate some bad food.
I have to send a proxy or something. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Uh-oh.
Okay. This summer. This week. Okay. Moving on.
Well, do we need to figure out why you can't be there when you said you could?
Well, what has consumed my off time a lot lately?
Softball. Yeah. Softball tournament already?
A festival.
Holy Moses.
Saturday, Sunday festival.
All right. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. Whatever else is on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. I did a little talk about the fantasy football when you were gone on Friday.
Oh, did you?
Trying to think my theory in last year's draft was so wrong, trying to get some help so that I'm not, you know, one of the worst teams in the league. Because here's what I decided. If my team is good, we'll talk about it a lot more on the air.
Right.
It wasn't a lot of fun to talk about just getting my teeth kicked in every week last year.
So no,
if I can,
not.
I need some help from the listeners. That way my team can get better and we can have a lot more fun on the air with it. Let's see, Paragon Communications app. If you're driving through the area, you lose us over the air. Download that app, Paragon Communications.
I don't want to look. Speaking of the text line.
The app, Paragon Communications. It's got all three radio stations here in Elk City with Cool 94, KECO, KADS. Penny News is in the app. Brand new edition of the Penny News. We'll hit the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. So rush out, pick up a free copy of the Penny News for this week, and then there'll be a brand new one tomorrow or Thursday at your local newsstands. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, getting that ready to go for Friday night with Elk City and Pampa. The following Friday night, Merritt opens up their season against Mangum. You can watch it live stream, live video stream, all season long on football, and then, of course, the basketball will start as well with Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. Skinny on Sports podcast set up on iTunes. It's on the website, KADSAM.com. It's also on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. So if you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen. Any one of those vehicles will be just fine. If you do iTunes, you might as well subscribe because at that point, it will alert you when a new podcast has dropped. What's up, Jared?
Not a lot. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm operating at about 80% capacity because I messed around this morning and didn't go get a cup of coffee. So I'll have to rush into the break room at this first break, get some coffee, and then you'll notice an uptick in my enthusiasm and energy in the second segment. No, I'm just kidding. But everything's going pretty good. It's going to be hot in the next couple of days, but it does look like we might get just a little bit of a break on Friday night with the temperatures coming down into the low 90s as opposed to close to 100. So that would help. As always, these first few games, the one thing that you see as a constant, it seems like no matter how much you hydrate, you always see, you know, cramps pop up as the game grinds into the third and fourth quarter.
Sure.
Something to be on the lookout for on a Friday night. But other than that, just kind of keeping the old head down and trying to get everything to you that you need, the people around us to get the things to you that you need so that we will be ready to go on Friday night.
Well, I'm playing the waiting game now. I got everything that I can get. This is my verbal warning warning to our sales staff.
Nobody listens to us. Don't worry about it.
Let's get it here. That's all I'm saying. Just get it here. So, get it to me, and let's get her going. I was up a little late last night working on it, and I got really distracted, though. You know why?
Why?
Because the new Spider-Man trailer dropped.
I did see that.
It nearly broke the internet, I think.
I did see that drop, and there was lots of people.
All my buddies were texting me. It's here. Super it's here. Excited. It's awesome. It's awesome. They're bringing back Doc Ock. Remember him? From yeah. Spider-Man 2 way back like 20 years ago?
Who?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. No.
I don't want to explain it to you. We don't have time. It's a separate podcast we can
That's make. One that but, I didn't. I got to tell you. I know that you watched like the superhero, the Avengers and the Spider-Mans and all that. I've only seen really two of those franchises, I guess you could say. One of them was the old-timey Supermans back in the day.
Okay. Christopher Reeve?
Yes.
Okay. 1978, yeah.
Yes, back then. And then the Batman
sure.
franchises. Yep. Okay.
Well, that's all DC property, but...
Starting out with Jack Nicholson's rendition way back when.
Right.
Then Jim Carrey was something. What was he, the Joker maybe at one
point? Jim Carrey was the Joker at one time.
And then
No, he was the Riddler.
He was the Riddler, that's right. Yeah. And Numa Thurman was Poison Ivy.
Yeah, that was a horrible movie.
Yeah.
You're
We're way back. And then
you are referring to really bad movies right there.
But then we get to maybe the most rewatchable movie of my lifetime, The Dark Knight.
Yes, absolutely.
The Dark Knight was every time it comes on, and as a matter of fact, yesterday as I was kind of perusing different intro videos on YouTube.
Oh, that music, man.
I heard some music and it made me think, wait a minute, what if we used the Dark Knight music?
Yeah.
And so then I went looking for it and I found it. And I hadn't ran this by you yet, so I'm going to do it right here on the air.
Well, I need to play the music that I want to play you.
Okay. I just kind of had that. anyhow.
It's cool, yeah. It has that let's go to war sound.
A little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's cool. Yeah, I love anything Christopher Nolan, by the way. Any movie he puts out. But, yeah, those were good. Those Dark Knight trilogy. What's up?
See the one that did the last three Star Wars?
No.
Who was that?
Well, two of them were J.J. Abrams.
That's who it was, J.J. Abrams.
And one in the middle was, I forget his name.
J.J. Abrams, that's right.
Yeah, no. No, but you were just mentioning a whole bunch of movies that have... You mentioned a lot of bad ones. The Dark Knight ones, obviously good ones. You need to get into the MCU. I know there's a ton of catalog with that. But
what is that?
It started with Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, the Avengers. The Avengers movies are fantastic. It just tells, it's all connected and it tells a great story, including the Spider-Man one. This is the third Spider-Man, and they found a way to connect the old Spider-Mans into this one.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give spoilers away because that is a big no-no.
I was, that's one thing I was seeing from different people that were excited about
that trailer
dropping was, now wait a minute, it just spoiled the second one. If you like
if you hadn't seen the second one at this point, well, then that's on you. That's on you. It's been out for a couple years. There's really no reason why you haven't seen it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got a little distracted last night when I was working on Big Elk TV.
Speaking of Big Elk TV, I watched a lot of my day yesterday was spent watching the scrimmage with Kingfisher.
Okay. So the Elks look good.
The Elks look very good.
But should that shock us?
All levels. All levels, too. Because it was kind of like, it looked like maybe ninth grade, a majority of ninth grade, maybe the JV team, then maybe the backups, then the starters or the varsity or whatever you want to call it. All three levels played and all really looked pretty good. The first team defense was good. Allowed a couple of plays, but nothing substantial there on the first. And then Elk City got the ball on the very first play. Daylon Thompson goes, 75 yards. It was hard to tell exactly where they were starting from.
Yeah.
Either the 30, 25, 20, whatever it was on the, you know, and he goes all the way untouched, basically made one cut at the linebacker level and was gone. And then the next play, Corey Culver, the quarterback, flipped it out in the flat to Drake, and he made one move down the sideline and just outran everybody to the end zone. And then three plays later, Culver hit Drake over the top. So within the span of, I think it was six or seven plays, the Elks had scored three different times from way out. So that was, you know, the explosiveness. I think you all see it, and you have for 3 years now with Hughes. And last year was at the quarterback spot, maybe bottled up a little bit, trying to learn a new offense. And so, you know, with Corey's ability to throw the football, maybe he doesn't add the dimension with his legs as far as, you know, long strike touchdowns that Drake did, but getting Hughes out in the flat, getting him out in space to get him the ball, and then of course, you know, Mason Price was a big part of it. That little, you know, trap that they run, kind of the wing back trap or whatever you want to call that, seems to work every single play. As a matter of fact, the second play with the backup guys or whatever you want to call that, Cooper Garbarino, which is a new kid on the team, sophomore. He took one to the house from 50 yards or whatever, untouched on that play.
Wow.
And he did that twice, actually, and then Mason had a long one as well. So, you know, offensively, that was good to see. The strength of this team, to me, has to be the offensive line because all those guys have played so much football and played so much football together, and it looked pretty good for the most part the other night. And so that's a good sign. It's with the way that the Elks are going to want to play, more of a ball control type, being able to hit the plays over the top and you know, those quick strikes. But, you know, we saw it last year, hand it to Daylon, you know, let him churn up yardage down the field and, you know, use the run to set up the pass in a lot of instances. It was good to see those O-line guys get going, you know, move Kingfisher off the ball like you're hoping you'd see. And so – you know, all was well, I think, on the offensive side. Then defensively, you know, there's two guys that flash immediately when you look out there, and it's Joseph and it's Brendan Wilhelm and Joseph Daly, and those guys were in the backfield. I know we kind of backfield brothers was their moniker after the first couple of games last year, and that's they were back there constantly. I think the one area.
By the way, that's copyrighted. You cannot make T-shirts. You can't make flags, backfield brothers.
Well, and here's the deal.
That's on us. That's all of our, there's been our
a little,
property.
There's been a little number change. So we'll be able to tell if you were using last year's material or this year's.
Okay.
Because Brendan's not the same number this year.
Okay.
For what looks like to me tight end purposes on offense. So his number's in the 80s this time. But those guys were back there. And then, to me, the level that needed to improve in the level – of the defense was linebacker, and man, those guys were all over the field. Sammy Leal was in a bunch of plays the other night. So, you know, they all look different, and we noticed that last year as they grow up. You know, the thing about this team for the Elks is this. We've seen these guys play since they were like 16 or 15 years old.
Yeah.
Because they were forced into action early on in their careers as some of them freshmen. Most of them sophomores were already in the lineup. And so we've seen the maturation physically and also mentally. You can tell they're just watching. They're a little bit more comfortable with everything that Coach Meadows is trying to do. Get them, you know, there's less thinking, more playing, you know what I mean? And everyone looks quicker to the ball defensively. And so, you know, we'll see what happens when the real bullets start flying on Friday. But it was a really, really good performance, I thought, from the Elks up at Kingfisher last Friday night.
That's encouraging because everything that you said, the stuff that needed worked on obviously was worked on, and we've circled this season, particularly this season, for a long time because of these guys. They've played together for a long time, and we knew when these guys are seniors, like we're saying this when they were sophomores, freshmen, when these guys are seniors, this could be one of the most overlooked teams. I already feel like they are a little bit overlooked in a sense, not just district-wide but statewide. They can turn around and shock some people, and I would not be shocked if Friday night's a good night for them.
Yeah, that's
based on returning players. You know, Pampa's lost a lot, but they do have the outstanding running back that we saw last year. But you know, sometimes that can't carry you enough, especially at home. I mean, when they're on the road and Elks are at home, I'm really encouraged. I'm looking forward to Friday night, and you know, regardless of the outcome, because things started good in that game last year, and then it just snowballed from there because the better team was on the field. That beat the other team, but they got it together and they showed some really good things in those wins against Southeast and Guymon, and even showed a lot of good things in losses like, say, Bethany. You know, I firmly believe if certain players hadn't gone down in that game, Elks would have had a real good chance to beat that playoff team. A true playoff. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
They were top four.
You know, last year, looking back at the score, 49-21 against Pampa out there. I think that game was 14-14 with 6 minutes to play before half.
That's what I'm saying.
And then Pampa put three or four touchdowns right on the board.
Yeah.
A couple of mistakes. And I know, you know, the first touchdown that Pampa scored that night was a one-yard drive because the snap got away from the punter and it ends up on the one-yard line and the Pampa runs it in.
Right.
The Elks counter and go right back down the field and score. Then kind of the same thing, but there was a – you know, it seemed like there was a fake punt that didn't get a first down that led to a score for Pampa. You know, and they scored 21 or 28 points in the last half of the second quarter. You remember, it was hot that night out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the conditioning was a little bit different with COVID. So it wasn't a normal, and the Elks just kind of lost, ran out of gas before the half and then played Pampa to even, I think. I think it was 42-14 at halftime. 14 all, and then they scored 28, just like that. And then second half was 7-7 between the two teams.
Right.
Once the Elks kind of got in the locker room, regathered, you know, where they were at, and then played well. The one thing that it's been a problem, you know, even back to the 2017 team that made the playoffs and was a pretty good team with Daquan and Chipper and all of those guys. But even back to then, defensively has been – the major problem for Elk City. We've been able to put up points a lot of the games, but just defensively hasn't been there. And when you look at the losses last year, that was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the least amount of points Elk City gave up in a loss was 35.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's got to be, you know, something that, you know, when you give up, you know, 13, 28, you're right there having a chance to win. When it gets up into the 30s and 40s, that's when the Elks are, you know, it's just hard to keep up. And, you know, even that team, like I said, I mean, they won a game 84-70. They didn't do it with the defense, you know. So, but I did think that last year the aggressiveness was way at a whole different level defensively for Elk City. And so hopefully with another year, a little bit more depth, that'll improve for the entirety of the 48 minutes as opposed to, you know, just a half or whatever. So we'll get to see what happens on Friday. Over at Sayre, I got a little report there. Some good, some bad, which this guy told me was perfect. That meant we had plenty to work on ahead of the game, the opener at Cordell on Friday night. Then Clinton, you know, it's hard to tell because that thing got cut short. Starting to see the videos of what happened. That's going to be an ugly situation down there in Lawton. With Clinton and El Reno on the field, you know, a fight breaks out and probably smart to just end it and everybody go their separate ways and not have something escalate even to a higher level than it did. We'll see what happens Clinton doesn't play this week. They still got another scrimmage, I think Bridge Creek and
Anadarko. I don't know if it's a three-way. I think
I think it turned into a three-way.
Bridge Creek?
I think so. I saw that from Colin last week. At the end of the week, that was going to end up being three-way. So,
yeah, I mean, there's, you know, they got great coverage over there with the newspaper, and you can see highlights of, you know, obviously just Clinton highlights. Clinton looks like Clinton on the ground, you know, just a lot of the same, a lot of speed on the ground. A lot of procrastinators have them at number two in the state. we'll see. But I think the bigger story is what comes of that fight. As a result, there could be some changes.
That's what. Okay, it's going to end up being just Anadarko. It was Bethel and Bridge Creek.
Oh,
is what happened.
Wonder what changed.
It's going to be Thursday, 6 o'clock, Anadarko versus Anadarko. They'll host
Anadarko. Thursday.
Host Anadarko at 6 o'clock Thursday. Reds were scheduled to play in a 3-way scrimmage against Bethel and Bridge Creek, so they just changed that out.
Okay, old district foe.
Yeah, I think we'll get talking about the district, you know, coming up here throughout the week. I think it's going to be interesting because a lot of teams from a lot of the top teams last year lost, and yeah. So how much does a team like Elk City gain?
That's what I'm saying.
Do they gain enough to get into the top four, or do they gain enough to, you know, finish five or six?
That's a great question. There's a lot of question marks in this 4A1 district alone. I would say there's a lot of question marks across 4A because Wagner lost virtually everybody, but a lot of people still have them in their top three because they always seem to reload. You know, like I said, Clinton's Clinton. You got a lot of attention on the east side with Cushing and Poto, but you know, in Weatherford, they got some turnover, but they're picked to finish second in the district. But they've lost. I mean, they lost some key talent, but they return a good running back and a good quarterback. But my point is about Elk City. They return a ton of experience.
20 of 22 starters.
And that is a big thing. That is a big, big thing at this level of high school football. And I don't think they're the seventh team in this district. I don't think so. I might be a little biased because we see them week in, week out. But we do see them week in, week out, and we know how they can perform. And if they put together four quarters of football, they're very hard to beat.
Yeah, that's the I think consistency, not only throughout the season from week to week, but also consistency from quarter to quarter.
Yeah.
It's something that has to be worked on. And it'll be different this year. Well, we hope. It'll be more consistent from a scheduling, from just getting to play, knowing what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
will be a lot different, hopefully, this year than it was last year. So it's going to be a fun one, and it starts Friday. All right, so coming up at 2 o'clock today, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12 are going to announce an alliance to focus on, quote-unquote, common values.
What does that even mean? Common values.
Are the common values the academic snobbery?
Oh, okay.
Are the common values the lack of success on the football field outside of Ohio State and Clemson for the other 38 schools involved in this? Are the lack of values being the conferences most shut out of the playoff with the Big Ten and the Pac-12? It's hard to tell.
It's a loose term of values there.
Right now, when you read some of the quotes, some of the anonymous quotes from people in the room, a lot of it is having to do with trying to keep the academic integrity of college athletics and not turn into what we see in the pro game. It's all just hogwash.
That NIL is really going to help that.
Here's the deal. How do you say this guy's name? The new Pac-12 commissioner, is it Kliavkoff? George Kliavkoff?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard it pronounced.
I mean, he worked at like casinos
ways.
And stuff.
Yeah,
in motion pictures.
Yeah, he was like a CEO.
CEO of one of the motion studios.
Yeah, of a studio. Yeah.
So he has taken over the helm of the failed Larry Scott project out there in the Pac-12. And he seems it's really weird because the Pac-12 is driving this, according to all sources. The Pac-12 is the one driving this alliance. Okay. And when he is quoted, he's talking about how basically he wants to see a renewed focus on winning football within the Pac-12 conference. He doesn't think that that's been the focus. And quite frankly, I'm not so sure he's not right. And the results bear, you know, speak for themselves. When's the last Pac-12 team in the playoff? Was it Washington in 2015?
Yeah.
Have they been locked out for four straight years?
Yeah.
And that Washington team just got boat raced when they were there.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's coming out one side of the mouth. The other side is talking about continuing to, you know, keeping up with the traditions and the academic integrity and all of that. So my question is this, before I tell you what's driving this alliance. My question is this for Mr. Kliakov. If your goal is really to have more competitive winning football, then why in the hell aren't you picking off Oklahoma State to join your conference?
Oh, great question.
Oklahoma State has more wins than any Pac-12 team over the past 5 years. They're second in wins to any Pac-12 team over the last decade, three behind Stanford, who's won 96, OSU's won 93. When you look at value of athletic departments / football programs, Oklahoma State's 31 in the country. That would be the fifth most valuable in the Pac-12. When you look at TV ratings over the past decade, Oklahoma State has more viewers than anybody in the Pac-12, 19th nationally. So if it's really, really about improving your product on the football field, then why don't you go grab, outside of Notre Dame, probably the most attractive left in a flailing conference that is the Big 12 in Oklahoma State? The answer is it's not really about football.
It's about
the appearance of being about football.
Right.
But the reason why this alliance is being made, it's a little football-y. It has everything to do with the playoff. And it has everything to do with either A, once those meetings happen in September, you've got these three conferences going in as a united front to make sure that, because you remember back, everybody was for the 12-team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC. Whoa! Hold the phone. And if you remember the proposal, it was proposed to allow the top six ranked conference champions into the playoff automatically. But it did not have a stipulation for any conference.
Right.
There wasn't a guarantee for any conference to be one of those six teams. Now, as you talked about it, it'd be hard to see, especially if the Big 12 isn't a thing, the power four now conferences having a champion that wasn't high enough ranked to be one of the six tops. But it was possible. And so it's either trying to get leverage to make those automatic bids assigned to conferences, or it's to try to torpedo the 12-team thing in the first place.
Mm.
I think it's more about making sure that they have guaranteed spots in the playoff. And here's why. They're not getting in it if they don't expand to 12, if you're the Pac-12.
No.
If you're the Pac-12 and you're the one, that's right, and you're the one driving this alliance, it's got to be so that you have a guaranteed seat at the table in a 12-team playoff. Otherwise, if you're trying to delay or torpedo that idea, you aren't getting in anyway. This is the only chance you've got.
Right.
With a guaranteed spot or not. And honestly, you know, this just seems like such a spiteful, emotion-driven reaction to what happened with the conference realignment and the SEC poaching OU in Texas.
It seems, is petty a good word to use?
A little bit, because this does nothing.
Can't you see everybody in the SEC, including us, OU in Texas, going, just laughing at this?
Well, there's at this point, there's no scheduling component to it. So they're not agreeing to play each other.
Right, right.
Part of that is because of the way that non-conference games work, and they're scheduled so far out. So, like right now, if this wanted to be implemented, you know, next season, let's say, Michigan's got Oklahoma and Texas on their schedule. Hmm. So either A, they have to get rid of those, or B, play a team from the Pac-12 and AC. You know what I'm saying? So your out of conference is going to be OU in 26, another Pac-12 and another ACC team. Now, it could be Washington State and Wake Forest, or it could be Oregon and Clemson. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That would be, that'd be extremely difficult, you know, and then the financial considerations of breaking those contracts with Oklahoma and Texas, whatever those are. After COVID, you probably don't want to just start writing $4 or $5 or $10 million checks or whatever it be.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of why the scheduling isn't there yet, because it needs to take a certain amount of time. See, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 back in like 2012 were working on agreeing to an alliance of scheduling. It fell apart in 2017, but back then it was going to take 5 to 10 years to clear up those non-conference schedules enough to where you could start doing this.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a problem. But to me, this is all playoff driven, and this is all to have the ability at the end of the month for whoever the representatives are from these three conferences to go in there and start demanding things of the format of the playoff. And the thing about it is, you know, there's going to be a bunch of seats at the table, but those Power Five conferences, the voting is weighted toward them. So, you know, if there was 10 people in the room, one from each conference, Notre Dame, you know, then, you know, it'd be 3-7. That doesn't matter. Okay, but because it's weighted in the way that the vote is weighted, this helps these three be able to have more of a voice and be able to kind of get things going the way that they want it to go.
Yeah, I see. I mean, you spelled it out. I'm just interested to see. Now, what time is that, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, 2 o'clock. I don't know if it's 1 our time or 2 our time.
I think I saw
maybe 2 Eastern,
2
1.
2 Eastern, 1 our time. So right after lunch, we'll have to tune on in and see what this really shakes out to be, or if it's just much to do about nothing.
Do you... With this alliance being announced, what, if any, effect do you think it has on the remaining Big 12 schools and their ability to get into, say, the Pac-12 or one of the other conferences?
That's a good one. I don't know. I think I don't know. I'm trying to think of the best news for the Big 12 after today, if when they make this alliance announcement, whatever press conference. And if they say something, we are also have agreed that we will help these other schools in the Big 12. But I don't know if that's going to be said. Meaning help, like we're going to help find them a home with the best conference that's suited for them, geography-wise or academic-wise. I don't know. But I think something I'll be real curious about if the Big 12 even gets a mention today, the remaining 8 teams.
Oh, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
If they did.
I mean, man, this is bad news for the Big 12.
I think it's bad news for the conference, not the teams.
Well, Big 12 is that's what, yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't think this alliance means Oklahoma State, whoever, is locked out. I don't think that's what that means.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're going to come out and say, and we are going to stand firm and not have any other more teams join our conferences. I think there's always going to be conversations of expansion within those conferences, within the country. So I'd be shocked if they say that too. You know, trying to put a unified front to say what the SEC is doing by going to the 16 teams is hurtful for college football, and we're not going to do that. That'd be detrimental for the remaining 8 teams in the Big 12. I'm like, oh, goodness. We thought we had a chance to go up north or go west or even go east. You know, I mean, West Virginia's over there going, wait a minute. Whoa. So I'd be shocked if they say something like that. But I don't know. This still throws a lot of butterflies in your stomach if you are one of the 8 teams remaining in the Big 12. I'd be real nervous. Real nervous.
That they're just going to lock you out?
It just already kind of feels like they have, because they haven't asked the Big 12 to be a part of this alliance.
See, that's where I think it's good news for the schools.
Okay.
Because they haven't asked the Big 12 to be a part of it as a conference.
Right.
So what does that mean? Okay, they're not in. Now who do we want?
Oh, that's a good point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they see the writing on the wall. Why align with something that's not going to be there in a couple years?
Right.
So
Exactly right.
You know, and I'm sure there were phone calls made to Bowlesby and other university presidents. Say, listen, this is why you're not here. Actually, I take that back. They didn't call Bowlesby. But they probably called OSU and Iowa State and West Virginia and said, this is why we're not including, you know, or I'd say called, you know, the back channels are talking with each other, you know, getting those messages across. So, because you haven't heard anything really official from the Big 12 or Big 12 members when this first came to light, like officially said. Have we?
Not really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it makes me think that they know something's up too. Kind of like what you're saying.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think the one, you know, everybody's on pins and needles waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
I think late September, I couldn't find a date. It just said kind of late September is when the playoff expansion committee reconvenes. And at that point, it was going to be a vote on what the proposal was. I don't know if that's going to still happen, or maybe you get in that room and this alliance pushes for, hey, let's make some tweaks. One of those is, of those six conference championship spots, guarantee us one. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just the top six ranked.
Right.
And then we'll see how much clout they've got. I mean, if you're the Big 12 and you're going to be – at that point, you don't know what's happening. You have to press forward as a conference, not the schools themselves, but as far as the conference goes, you have to assume and press forward with the idea that we're still a thing. And so if you're going to be an 18 conference at this point looking to expand to something at another point to try to maintain your Power 5 status or what have you, you're clearly voting for an expansion of this playoff.
Yeah.
That way you can have as close to a seat at the table as you could possibly get.
Oh, sure. I mean,
to get into the playoff. So,
and that would be lifeblood for the Big 12.
Sure. Some of it. And you know the little guys are all voting for this.
Oh, yeah.
So how much power and influence does this alliance even have with regard to those conversations? And of course, there's always, you know, what's the most, one of the most powerful things in college football that's not even a person or a school or the stupid Rose Bowl. It's amazing how much power that thing has, at least with the Big Ten and the Pac-12.
Right.
You know, the big part of that is trying to get that game. But here's the problem. They want that game on that day at that time. Well, there's going to be years where that doesn't coincide with what the playoffs doing.
Right.
But it's just so weird how much that granddaddy of them all makes people go crazy. I had a question on my text, and this to me is the biggest domino of anything, and nothing's going to happen until this question is answered. When or if Notre Dame is forced to join a conference.
Okay, so you mentioned a big power.
Yeah, they are the one.
That's the one that,
no doubt,
a lot of people kind of look at. Like, is Notre Dame included in this alliance because of the scheduling agreement that they have with the ACC, or aren't they? Because technically they don't play for an ACC championship.
No, just last year.
Last year they did, but, you know, that doesn't really qualify them to be in the conference. They are not in a conference. Yeah, that's a great question, too.
I mean, that is the domino. And so the thing about them is this, though, with their agreements and the contracts they've signed with the ACC, it's not a matter of which conference Notre Dame's going to join. We know what the answer to that is. The question is if or when. And, you know, everybody points to that contract they have with NBC as, oh, they just make so much money, they can't do it. You know how much they make a year?
Not as much as you think.
Not even close. $15 million.
That's it.
So they make $15 million. That agreement runs through 2025. Now, do they not care? Is it just the prestige of basically owning your own network? I don't know. But as far as money goes, they would make a heck of a lot more money
in a conference
in the ACC, yeah, than they do off of that NBC contract.
Yeah.
Now, with the way that everything's skyrocketing, are they thinking, okay, when we get to the renegotiating table, you know, we've played for a national title in 2012 as the two-team BCS title. We've been in, what, two playoffs? Two or three?
I think two. I think two.
I think they've just been in the playoff twice. Last year in 2018.
Yeah,
got beat by Clemson, got beat by Alabama.
You're right, yes.
I think they've just been in two playoffs and then the title game. So, you know, since they signed that contract, I think it was a 15-year deal or maybe a 10. 10 for 15 or 15 for 10. 15 for 10. Anyhow, you know, their property is more valuable than it was because they're playing better football.
Mm-hmm.
And so can they, you know, if they can get that number to 20 or 25 million, they still lose money, but not as much, and they still don't have to share when it comes down the line with bowls or, you know, they get their cut of whatever it is. If they make the playoff, they don't have to share with anybody.
Right.
And so maybe that money gets closer to being a wash than what we think.
Yeah.
But to me,
but when it comes down to renegotiating contracts, they can easily go to NBC and go, you need to pony up the dough because we can go to the ACC and get paid this if you still want us on your network. And NBC can turn around and say, look at the ratings.
Yeah, and well, listen, I mean, they're right there at the top of all that. I mean, when I saw that list that Oklahoma State was 19, like OU was 8, Notre Dame was in the top 5 of most watched teams for a 5-year period.
When you're good, you're going to be watched.
Yeah, and
you know, that's what
they
do.
Just have that.
Obviously, sit down and watch OU, and then, you know, hopefully OSU's not playing at the same time. I'll keep an eye on them. But what am I doing? I'm looking for the next best available game. Oh, Alabama is at A&M? Yeah, I'm watching that. Not a fan of either one, but want to watch them. But if Alabama was 4-3 at that point, I'm probably not going to watch that. Yeah, it totally makes sense. When you win, people pay attention.
Yeah, they're fourth on the list.
Notre Dame.
Let me see when this was from. Da, 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 2015 to 2019. Who do you think was the most watched?
Bama.
Nope.
It's not Bama.
Nope.
Clemson.
They were number two. Clemson was number nine.
Wow. The most watched team in the last since 2015.
15 through 19.
That's a great question.
Ohio
State.
Ohio State.
That makes sense.
Bama 2, Michigan 3, Notre Dame 4.
Awesome.
So, yeah, they've got they definitely have the prestige. They definitely bring the audience. There's no doubt about that. Because they do that even if they're not good.
I won't lie. I enjoy watching Notre Dame games, especially when it's in South Bend.
Yeah, that's
just
that list.
I like the pageantry of it. I've always been a sucker for tradition.
This is that list where OSU was 19th at second in the Pac-12 behind USC. Bringing the viewers. Don't forget Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em. College football games, season-long contest. We're picking against the spread. You can sign up on the ESPN website. Just go to the College Pick'em. Find the group The Skinny on Sports. You can be ready. Doesn't start till September the 4th. The first real weekend in college football. There's some games this weekend, but the first kickoff weekend, Labor Day weekend, September 4. It's going to be against the spread. Picking against the spread. So not just winners this year. Picking against the point spread. It'll be fun. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, everybody there at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. They stand by it, trying to sell you real estate here in Western Oklahoma. Now, Jared. Question on the text line is probably the most important one in our lives for the next 3 days, 4 days. Who's drafting Jared's team?
Oh, boy.
Here's a question I do not know the answer to. So how does this work? If you cannot be in the house, do we just simply go down the list? Do you give us like a – do you give us like a format? So you go like
best available, I don't know.
Or okay, here's what I want to do. I want to go running back, receiver, running back, quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And then we give you the best one available on the list. How does this work?
Why not?
Commissioners listening, any ideas?
Why not? I'm almost compelled.
I hate to call you and you're standing on the first base bag.
I'm almost compelled to follow this via text and then just text it in. That might be tough to do. Because remember last year I did my homework and it didn't help.
Yeah. But
I was like, all right, this guy's still available, and if he's not there, this is my number two option. I was, you know, if I can't be there and not see the big board and hear the chatter of everyone else, who they're thinking or what they're doing, that's going to be really hard to do. I don't know. We're going to have to figure out a system.
The idea from the commissioner is a horrible one, which we're not doing.
We've been really bashing commissioners today.
It's a horrible idea, and it's not happening. I just joined, but why can't he just auto draft board? What's that mean?
Best available when you have an auto draft, but this is a live draft.
That's right, live draft.
So, and I see what you're saying.
Maybe. Hey, how about this? Maybe Will can come over and draft for you.
I would trust Will. Will, if he wants to go co-ownership on this team, I'm all about it.
Love to, he said. Saturday, 5:00. Location undisclosed. I can text it to Will. Will is in. All right, there you go.
We co-owner this team. Hey, there. I'm co-owners. I'm good with that. Absolutely.
There we go.
That way, I could pass the blame to somebody else if my team is not.
And
good.
It's just another person
if
for
our
me.
Our team. I'm sorry. If our team is not.
Yes,
good.
You're not starting out on a very good foot here. Calling it your team. Yeah, let me guess. Your team when you win, Will's when you lose. All right. 5:00 Saturday afternoon.
Listen, family comes first. I gotta be there for my kid, and plus I'm an assistant coach.
Yeah, he's got the same thing going on that I do as far as the significant others. They're playing in a golf tournament together. My wife and sister-in-law.
Oh.
Yo.
Okay. So he's free.
He's free.
Awesome.
Hang on. I don't know. Diamond in the Rough. I've already got my marching orders for Diamond in the Rough. It is, as soon as the tournament's over, come pick my wife up, and she's done with that. But there's a dinner afterwards. You know, we'll have to see. We'll have to iron this out with Will. But we might have a solution.
Okay.
The power of radio. Oh, the champ is here. By the way, congratulations to Dakota. Those little ones have made their way home. Congrats.
All right.
There have been a lot of cars at his house the last couple days when I've driven by going to the football field.
Good.
So that is great. We'll see everybody on Saturday at 5:00. We'll be back tomorrow, though.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.